chapter 18. Yes, he is. I do believe I'm supposed to say all the time. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. A couple weeks ago we looked at what sets Christianity apart. Is Christianity just another world religion, or is there something different about it? We looked in the scriptures what set Christianity apart. Then in the evening service we looked at what is the purpose of the local church. Tonight we'll look at what is our individual responsibilities in the local church. Matthew chapter 18, please look over in verse 20. The Bible says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." You know, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we feel like, if we don't have big church, we're not having church. I think it was last week. Maybe a third of you were gone. Is that when you guys were gone? Yeah, we had the Sutliffs gone, the Primers gone. Who else? Mrs. Wilson, you were gone, right? Jabiski's were gone. Faulkner's are still gone. We had a bunch of people. Does that mean we don't have church? No, that doesn't mean that. If we had a room two times the size of this with two times as many people, does that mean we're having more church than what we're having right now? No. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, there am I in the midst of them. We have to remember that. We have to not get caught up with the building, and certainly we want to take time to be responsible for what God has blessed us with. But it's not all about how many. It's about who's here. It's about who is God given to us. I was telling, I think it was Rick before service. You talk to people that have, 600, 700, 800, 1,000 people in their church. You know what they miss? This. They miss it. I was telling Brother Steepman before, I said, not that other churches don't have it, but some don't. But we have a feel here, a family atmosphere, a spirit about unity that not all places have. And I am thankful for it, and I do not... it's the Lord, and I'm glad He does that, and I'm glad you're part of it. But not everybody has what we have. And let's be careful not to... You know, I talk to young people, and they're like, "Oh, I can't wait till I'm..." Hey, man, enjoy what you got right now. "Oh, I can't wait till I graduate and what? Get a car payment? Can't wait till I graduate college. What, to have a mortgage?" Man, I'm telling you, enjoy where you're at right now. Not that it's not good when you grow up. I'm just saying that in each phase, there's a uniqueness and a specialty about it. Hey, let's be careful not to be, let's to be careful to be content with what God has given us and just fulfill the role that God has, and we're going to talk about that. But there's some churches that, you know, I have an acquaintance down south, and man, in his church, he's probably got 15 people. Does that mean he didn't have church this morning? No, he had church. And there's a place maybe across town or across a state border that has 1,500 people. Does that mean they can't have church? No, they can have church too. Let's not forget where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll look at some introductory thoughts, and then we'll have a few points, and then we'll head out. I told the ladies in the nursery around 4 o'clock. It might be closer to 4:15, 4:30. All right. Well, we started like 10 minutes late. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints." And look at this. I love this phrase. "And of the household of God." "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for today. And God, thank You for the special time. Lord, I am thankful for the household of God. I'm thankful for the family that You've given to us under Your leadership and Your guidance. Lord, as we look in Your Word tonight, Lord, I pray that You would lead us and guide us and direct us. And Lord, maybe in some way encourage us to get more involved. Maybe have a little more ownership of our local church. See our responsibility in the Great Commission. Lord, help us with that. Lord, lead us and guide us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we see this just unique phrase concerning the church and of the household of God, a fellow citizen with the saints. Man, what a blessing that is. And we're built upon Jesus Christ Himself. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 15, I believe we looked at this verse last week, but 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." If you're wondering how to behave yourself in the house of God, it's godliness. "God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." That's what we preach. That's what we base our life around, is Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ. And godliness. So here tonight, what is my responsibility to my local church? I understand what the church is part of, but what do I do? How do I get involved? What is my function in this? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, turn there. Ephesians chapter 5. Pray for our young adults. A bunch of them are going to college. Where's Miranda? I thought I saw her sneak. When do you leave? Thursday. All right, very good. Haley's not feeling well, but I think she leaves next Thursday. Jules is on her way now. She is flying out this evening. Who else? Janae? Wednesday? Wednesday flying to Pensacola. All right. Who? Amaris leaves Thursday to Ohio. Is that correct? All right. Are we missing anybody? Wesley is going to Brockport. Staying close. I like it. I'm glad. Yeah, good. Good. All right. Pray for our young people, though, that are getting into college and returning back to college. We have a young adults activity after service tonight, and we have an annual, I like to call it fun, but it is a competition, and miniature golfing up in the Rondquoit, so pray that I win. And so Ephesians, I can't beat them on the football fields, but I feel like in the putting range, I can beat him. Ephesians chapter 5. Sure do love our young adults. And you pray for them. They're experiencing something that you never would have thought they have to go through. The attack upon their mind and their heart is far greater than ever before. And you pray for them. We sure do love our young adults. And the ones that are staying too. Ephesians chapter 5, hopefully you found it by now. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. What is my responsibility towards my church? Well, if Christ loved the church, well, I ought to love the church. I ought to love my church. Now, I am thankful. I don't get to visit too many churches too often. Running joke at our house is I work every Sunday, so I can't really go other places. And I'm not looking to go other places. I'm just saying I don't get a chance to see other ministries. But anytime you get an opportunity to meet a local pastor or someone that's in the ministry, man, I try really hard to be kind and accommodating in any possible way that we can. And I understand to love the entire church as a whole, the complete body of Christ, whether you go here or you go to Chai Lai or somewhere else in town. Yes, Christ loved the church, the whole entity. But as an independent Baptist, there ought to be an affection and love for your church. The sweetest spot you ought to want to be is here. I would be concerned if every week you're getting excited about going somewhere else. Christ loved the church. We ought to love our church. When you love something, well, what do? You take care of it. You invest in it. It tells us here, Christ loved the church. And what did he do because he loved the church? He gave himself for it. Love and sacrifice go hand in hand. Sometimes there's sacrifice. You might put something in a plate and you feel like, well, I'm never going to see that. Well, that's sacrifice. There might be time spent and you might have to give up something. Maybe a vacation time. I so appreciate those that take vacation time to go to camp. Hey, that's a sacrifice. I understand that. You get 2 weeks of camp or 2 weeks of vacation a year, and one of the weeks you're spent jumping in mud pits with 10-year-olds. So yeah, where's the compensation for that? I feel like I can't, but the Lord will. Oh, kids do appreciate it, don't they? But it just shows that you love your church. And I wouldn't want to be somewhere where I don't love that place. We have limited funds, so if we get a chance to go out for dinner, we're very careful. We read reviews, we look at it, we figure out, hey, if I'm going to spend, man, if two people go out for a nice dinner these days, it's anywhere from $50 to $100 now. Unless you go for the 4 for $4 at Wendy's. And you can make those work. But man, if I go to a place, I'm going to make sure that I love it. If I'm going to spend so much time and invest my life in something, I would like to think that I'm at a place that I love. It's hard to love a place where you're not at it. My responsibility to my local church is to love my church. That changes my approach. Changes my approach to people. People are not obstacles, but the very gifts that God has given us. The person that you're sitting next to and go, whew, they got a boatload of problems. I'm so glad. Hey, your heart ought to break for those when they're going through tough times and rejoice when they get victory. That's love. That's love. We'll talk about this in a few minutes, but if a child wanders away, hey, they might not bear your last name, but they're part of you. My responsibility to my local church, number one, is to love my church. Number two, this is a weird point for me to say, but it is important and it'll be helpful to you. Hebrews chapter 13. This is not self-serving. I hope you understand that. Let me read it and I'll explain it a little bit, and then hopefully we'll say, oh, I know where he's going. He's going to ask us for money. No, I'm not. Even better. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Hey, love your church, but listen to everything I have to say first. Support your pastor. May I say, though, you all do this so well. I'm not saying this because you're not. I hear horror stories of things other men have to go through. Now, don't get ideas. Those things are just I'm just thankful I don't have to deal with some of those things. Maybe the Lord knows I couldn't handle it. But I really do appreciate your support and help. Just for instance, days like today. Putting all this together and making it work and people setting up tables and then breaking down tables and I'm watching people vacuum. And half an hour before service, I just wanted to review my message for tonight. I could go up into my office and people are just taking care of stuff. You know what that is? That's just a support. It's a help. Appreciate your prayers. Hey, sometimes, I'll just be honest, sometimes the things that the Lord gives me to say from behind this pulpit, I understand I'm not here making friends saying that stuff. But I'm trying to help you. And you all take it so well. May I say, Hebrews 13:17 is not a rebuke, but a, hey, good job for doing this. I just want to let you know. I will gladly give account with joy for the opportunity to be your pastor. And the Lord puts all that together, right? You know that. All right. Love your church. Support your pastor. Number three, pray for your church. There's something. Say, I want to get involved in my church. I would like an office. All right. Well, before we give you an office or a title, or a parking spot. We do have some handicapped spots available. Before we get you all that, how about we get involved in praying for our church? Say, absolutely. How can I pray? How about we pray for the sick? Get a list. Out here we have a book of our missionaries. If I asked you who our missionary is to Venezuela. We have a missionary to Venezuela? Yes, we do. Who are our missionaries to Africa or Zambia? Do we know them? Do we pray for them? We make covenants with them when they come here. And they get us nodding, right? Hey, don't just give us money, but will you pray for us? And we're all like, yeah, we'll pray. And then they leave and we forget their names. Hey, pray for your church. Pray for the sick. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for wisdom. Not all decisions are black and white. Not all decisions are easy decisions. Ask our deacons. There are some decisions that I put off for maybe a month or two just because I don't feel like I have clarity on it. I'd rather make no decision than the wrong decision. And maybe that's a fault of mine or whatever. But I pray, appreciate Mrs. Jabisky. Hey, how can we pray for, what do I say? I pray for strength, wisdom, and discretion. Discernment. Hey, pray for wisdom for us. Hey, we want to do right by God. We want Him to be pleased with us. Pray for the lost. So, such a blessing on Saturday morning prayer meetings. Little hands going up, right? Pray for Jose. Came here one time for 2 hours.
Yeah, how about that?
Ingrained in some of our young people. On a weekly basis. There was a young man, we went out, was it Sunday night? Where's Miss Calipi? Miss Calipi, did we go pizza last Sunday night? Yeah, all right. And there was a young man, and I had a gospel track, and I gave him a track, and he's like, oh, my friend goes there. Chances are good, if your friend goes to that church, I'll know them. And he's like, well, he used to. I said, what's his name? John Southcott. I said, oh, yeah, I know John. I said, do you know Roger? He goes, oh, yeah, I know Roger. And we talked a little bit about that. I said, what's your name? He said, Derek Perkins. I said, Derek, I'm just letting you know I've been praying for you for years. I've never seen your face. I don't know who you are. Before he left work, their other lost friend, Amanda, we were talking about it last night. She's like, oh, he needs prayer. She's like, I am amazed he is still alive. So I got to tell this young man that we've been praying for him. Before he left and finished up his shift, he came over and said, hey, thanks for saying something. Came out of his way. There he is, with gospel track in his back pocket. Man, are you praying for the lost? You never know who's going to come walking in here. How many years were we praying for Ed Bauman? Had no idea what he looked like. No idea of his frame, his swagger, nothing about that. Didn't know anything. Guy comes walking in. What's your name? My name's Ed Bauman. Oh, my soul. I have been praying for you. How many of you prayed for my parent, my dad, for years? And all of a sudden he comes trucking in here. You met him for the first time. They're like, you're like a little Pastor Russo. Praying for the lost by name. How can I get involved in my local church? If you love your church, you can support your pastor, you can pray for the church. For those that are sick. Not just pray for the sick, but you could go visit the sick. You know, we give attention to the greatest of fires. When something's really bad, we flock to it, and once it dies down, we kind of forget about it. Mr. Trimaldi's still in the hospital. Mr. Girolamo's still at home. Mr. Burkhart's dad is having some complications. He's over at Park Ridge, or at Rochester General. Hey, there are those that are sick, and maybe we could even do more. Just be a smiling face, bring him something, send him a card. The sick, we can pray for wisdom, we can pray for the lost, we can pray for those that are backslidden. Those that used to sit in the seats and no longer come. We could go down a list of names, but I think we know. Say, I want to be a help to my church. Would you pray for your church? Pray that the temptations stay away, that we keep God exalted. That we'd always have a tender heart towards the lost. They would seek godly wisdom, that we would be compassionate towards the sick. Pray for your church. Fourthly, Ephesians chapter 4. We're almost done. This is what you can do here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Not only should you love your church, not only support your pastor, pray for your church, but how about this? Grow in your church. Grow. That's why there's pastors and teachers to help you. To perfect the saints, to hone in on areas that need to be cut away and areas that need to be added. Yesterday we were at Sarah's Garden Place on, East Avenue here in Brockport. Anybody go to Sarah's? Anybody ever been to Sarah's? Ever go to you cross the bridge with all the stone stuff in the back? Have you seen that, Mrs. Bauman? With the stone arch? Unbelievable back there. Hey, if you get out early, it's not a fasting week, go get ice cream and go check this place out. Unbelievable. That did not happen by accident. People were maintaining the cut edge of flowers and beautiful. Say, I want to be part of a church that's growing and thriving for the Lord. Then grow and thrive in the Lord. The only person you can control is you. I dare say it's not for lack of teaching and preaching that we are not growing. You personally, take responsibility for it. Study your Bible out. Give some time to prayer. Give time to reading. I hope you read your Bible every week. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, very familiar verse. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow up. Say, "I'm 60 years old." Keep growing. Keep growing. Grow in the Lord. Grow in your church. Hey, there's a lot of opportunities here for growth. If you don't come to Sunday school hour, think about it. I was telling some of our young adults at lunchtime today, man, I'm so thankful for our young adults class. I do apologize if we disrupt the seniors class, laughing or stuff. And probably the first 20 minutes or so, we just get caught up. It's like sitting around our kitchen table. "Hey, tell me what you did this week. Where's Melissa? Melissa here? She's gone? Okay." I give Melissa a real hard time about everything. We have a good time with it. She's a blessing. She doesn't have to come. She comes here by choice. We just fellowship a little bit until about 10:30, and then we share blessings that we got out of our Bible reading, and then we have just a nugget of a thought. This morning we're talking about forgiveness. How God forgives us, and because of the forgiveness of God, we can then forgive others. Just something to take home and take away. I know Jay has spent a great amount of time studying out the Follow Me lessons and how blessing they are. And Mr. Bauman has taught a series of lessons. And Mr. McDowell with the teens. Hey, maybe consider coming to Mr. Parrott with Jesus through the Old Testament. How far are you still in Daniel? Well, exactly. Hey, these are great classes. What God has given us in teachers is a gift. It's a great blessing. It'll help you grow. It'll help you grow. Lastly, say, are you kidding? This is wonderful. Love your church. Support your pastor. If I preach an hour and a half message tonight, you would hate your church. So, like, love your church. Support your pastor. Pray for your church. Grow in your church. And serve the Lord in your church. Matthew 15:8. Look at this verse. How many of you went with us to Indianapolis? Anybody? We got some workers. How many teenagers? Get your hands up there. Okay, good. Remember when we drove like forever to the little camp place and we had to clean the camp? Remember those bathrooms? Terrible. And yet you're smiling about it. Because we can even clean bathrooms together for the Lord wholeheartedly. In Matthew 15:8, it tells us this: "As people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips," but it says this, but their heart is far from me. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly always. No matter what you're doing, whether you're cleaning bathrooms, teaching a Sunday school class to the pre-K. Say, what do you try? My goal would be to just return the same number that came in. Without fire or disaster. But they got them sitting in there. And they're prepared. They have crafts. Teaching pre-K wholeheartedly. You know what our teenagers need? They need to be taught wholeheartedly. They're not listening anyway. They need it. Wholeheartedly. Adults. Wholeheartedly. It would be a shame if we served the Lord with our mouth and with our lips, but not with our heart. Serve the Lord in your church. There's a spot for everybody. Children. Children can get involved in serving the Lord. By being an example to other children, right? Kids look up to kids. They do. One class looks up to the next. Younger siblings looking up to old. Children can serve the Lord by being obedient to their parents. That is really your only job. Children, obey. Go on. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Because the Bible says it's right. Not only be obedient, be helpful. And work together. If your parents say, hey, we're going to try out visitation. They say, I don't want to go to visitation. It's so early. We got to be there at 9:30. Remember when prayer meeting on Saturdays was 8 a.m.? You remember that? Mr. Parzynski and Mr. Steffenhagen would pray till like noon. Remember that? Mr. Wilson would be there. Do things together. Mom, can I stay home while you guys go to church? Don't do that. Be involved. This isn't just their church, it's yours too. Say, well, I can't be a member until I'm 18. Yeah, but every time you walk in these doors consistently, this is your church. Yep. Be attentive in class. Hey, there's someone trying to pour out their heart to you. Don't be cutting up, messing around. Say it's boring. If you could be bored for 40 minutes, so be it then. But you be attentive, respectful to the Word of God. Children, be an example to other children, obedient to parents, helpful to parents, together with parents, attentive in class. Adults, serve the Lord. Be the example to follow. Teach a Sunday school class. Get involved. Go to Mr. Bauman. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Hey, Mr. Bauman, next meeting that we have, Mr. Bauman says, I got a problem. What's the problem? We have way too many teachers for the amount of classes. I want that. That's great. Get involved in Sunday school. You never know what will happen. Years ago, I used to teach Sunday school. Kids, third and fourth grade Sunday school. And here we are. Who knew? We sure do need help in the nursery. I'd rather have to have two nurseries because we have children. There's some churches that you go to that just don't have a youth ministry. Maybe, you know, Bauman's could maybe tell us that Seatman's traveling around church to church a little bit. You don't want that. We want to have to repaint the walls and fix the carpets and try and get the puke smell out of it. We want that. Say, why do we want that? That's disgusting. We want that because children cause that. Sure. We want kids here. So we need help, though. If we have a nursery, we need helpers. Appreciate our helpers. If you work in the nursery, thank you. I appreciate the Humbies. I think Rhonda's scheduled in a month to work in the nursery 6 times. Help her out. All right. Say, did she tell you to? Yes, she told me to say those things. She said it. I have money. She told me. No, she did not say to say anything. Junior church. While your adult Sunday school class is going on, our little kids are in junior church. Say, what do they need up there? They have a teacher in crowd control. Yep. Volunteer to teach, preach up there. Bus ministry. Bus ministry is an investment. That might be the only thing you could do. But do it. Say, what do we get by bus ministry? These guys. I just see bills. Yeah. It is well worthwhile. Be a help to the Calpies. But the Calpie comes out on visits and go to Miss Calpie, blow her away. Say, hey, I want to start a new route somewhere. Where do you want to send me? I'll go out every week. This will be my area. I'll try and get some. Mr. Calpie, you're having surgery this week? Tuesday, is that right? Yep. You pray for Mr. Calpie. areas to get involved in. Number one, be an example to follow. Remember what it said, that we would live godly. Live godly. Get involved in Sunday school. Work in the nursery, junior church. Why? Because this is your church. Bus ministry. There's 1,000 ministries, but I'm not trying to skip out on some, but give to missions. Missions is above tithe. But not only give to missions, go to missions. See, we'd lose all our good families if we sent all our good families to missions. Or two or three are gathered. I'd rather be obedient to God and deal with the numbers that we have here than... Maybe in the confines of your own home, you tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm willing. Would you send us?" Maybe you take a trip. We have a trip scheduled in a few weeks, a couple months. Some are going for the first time, taking a mission trip for the first time. I was talking to the missionary, I think I told you this, but his name's Brad Barkowski, and he said that his first mission trip was when he was 12. And he went to Trinidad. Now he's a missionary in Trinidad. What could happen with... We're bringing Jaden and Charity and Joe and Savannah and Matthew. These are some younger. Mr. Primer's hoping I say his name in the younger group. Primers are going. What's going to happen with that? I don't know. But I know our eye affects our heart. We're looking to take another trip next summer. Already working on some of the details of it. Give to missions. Go to missions. How do I get involved in my church? Well, we find out the things that God loves and just get behind that. Attend services. Not that you don't, but that's one way. One way to serve the Lord. Be a soul winner. Be a faithful witness. Carry gospel tracts around. Carry them in your purse or in your pocket, in your coat pocket. Maybe keep a couple. There's a ton of, I don't know if your vehicles are like this. I have a ton of storage on the side of my door. Do you all have that? I don't know what that is supposed to be for other than gospel tracts. I don't know. What are you supposed to keep in there? It can't fit anything else other than that. So fill it up. But don't leave your window open or else it'll ruin the gospel tracts. I speak from experience. This is your church. Love it. Support it. Pray for it. Grow in it. And serve the Lord in it. Let's all stand. I don't know. I hope after days like today, you walk out of here never thinking or saying, "I don't ever want to go back." I hope after days like today, you go, "Man, I can't. I love our church family. I love being here." Sometimes it's overwhelming how good God is to us. Don't deserve it, but I sure am thankful for it. Brother Seatman, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight? Yes, sir. Pastor Seatman.